Our gospel reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew in chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And this is the story of the Epiphany, of when the wise men journeyed from their homes and their living quarters in the east and went all the way towards Judea to Bethlehem to find Jesus. So I invite you to hear these words starting in verse 1 of chapter 2 of Matthew's gospel. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. In this coming year, or this new year, as we're in just a few days into 2019, I mean, there are all kinds of news articles and stories, you know, asking folks to look ahead to the year of talking about goal setting and resolution making, all, you know, good things, I think, especially when we have a change of calendar, when we, you know, go into a brand new year. It's a natural break to look ahead and also to examine ourselves and go, you know, about the things that are, you know, we're struggling with or are not helping with us. You know, now's a good time to say goodbye to those things and try to improve ourselves, to look forward. And I think that's, you know, a great thing to do. I think it's something we should all do, and not just, you know, certain times of year, but continually, you know, asking ourselves, you know, where we are going. And I say that not, you know, in a strictly, you know, secular sense or a, you know, a secular understanding of goal setting or resolution making, but also spiritually. You know, very much a spiritual sense. You know, asking ourselves that question of where are we going? Where do we hope to go in this next year? Where do we hope to go for the rest of our lives and even eternally as well? It's a question that we look at in our gospel story that we see asked frequently. We can see throughout the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, it really is a collection of stories of a lot of coming and going, if you think about it. If you look back into, you know, the early parts of Genesis, there's, you know, stories there. You know, Abraham leaving his home, going on a journey, you know, towards Canaan and the Promised Land. There's a story in there of Noah where he took a nautical journey for a while, you know, there on the ark. You know, that was a journey in itself, you know, of, you know, getting the ark built and getting all the animals and all the people together. There's also that story we find of when people were put into exile and they went on a journey, you know, from their home there in Judea and Judah on into Babylon, and then were able to go back home to their home in Judah. Another journey right there. And then we look here in the New Testament. Now, here at the very beginning of the gospel story, it's a story of journey for Mary and Joseph, you know, traveled to Bethlehem. They were not living in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. They were from, you know, Nazareth, and they had gone down to Bethlehem and were, you know, taken a, you know, census of as a part of the Roman census. Jesus was born there, and then we come here to yet another story of journey, of traveling, of the wise men coming from the east there to Bethlehem. all kinds of journeys and stories, and also travel stories as well. For myself, when I'm reading, I love reading a good travel story. And in this last year, I found that I really liked reading stories that if somebody was trying to learn about a subject, let's say the one I really enjoyed, this travel kind of narrative, was going to all the American Southwest, looking at all the sites of the Anasazi, you know, Chaco Canyon, Mesa Verde. And this writer was going from site to site, to the Aztec ruins, to the Salmon ruins, all through the Southwest. And he did much of his journey on foot to try to experience what it had been like to live as one of the people, the Anasazi, going from place to place. So it was a fascinating reading, that kind of travel story and telling the history of the people who have, lived here in North America, far longer than I could imagine. But yet, in that story, you find some uncovering of himself, of not only is he presenting the culture and the science that's there, but you learn about the author in the process. And I think we look at travel stories like this, where a person is learning about themselves as they're learning about something else beyond themselves, or experiencing a different culture, a different experience. You have that opportunity as a reader even to think about, what do I value? What do I search for? What do I want to learn about? And this story here of the wise men coming from the east, it's a story where we see so much happening, not only with the wise men, where they were looking in the stars, and as astronomers, saw that something major had taken place in Judea. I mean, so much so they left and traveled 700-800 miles to Judea for the birth of Jesus. But we learn about Herod as well. I mean, he presents himself here in this story as somebody who is noble, who wants to learn about the King of the Jews. But we later learn in the story that Herod was not the nice guy or the guy who was looking to worship the King of the Jews, for he recognized that birth of that new king, the birth of Jesus, would threaten his own place, his own power, his own authority. We learn that here in this travel story and this narrative here in the Gospels. And we also learn, too, of how the wise men came, looking at those stars. But when they got there to Bethlehem, they verse 11 there, they're entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. And because they recognized how this child was indeed the king, how this child was a fulfillment of so many prophecies, they brought these gifts, of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, gifts that were meant for a king. Now, when they left their home in the east, it would have been ancient Persia, going to Judea, they probably were not expecting to leave those gifts, those kingly gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh in a house in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is a place that if you were going to be looking in the travel section of Barnes & Noble or of a bookstore, you would not find the Photos guide or the Lonely Planet guide to Bethlehem in this day and age, or even in their day and age. Because Bethlehem would have been seen kind of a backwater, a place, people don't go there unless they have a reason, to go there. It wasn't a place that you would go to, for vacation or a holiday or anything like that. But yet, the wise men went there because they were searching, they were looking, they were trying to understand what was happening around them and in their lives as well. For us, as we're in this new year, there's a lot here, I believe, for us, a lot that could inspire us. And especially when I think about this story here, is that they left with their homes with the intention of visiting a king and taking those high kingly gifts. And where they ended up was not the place that they probably expected or even anybody you know of their culture would have expected them to be, to worship a king, to share those gifts. Most likely, when they got to Judea and they met with Herod, they probably thought in some ways themselves that they were supposed to leave those gifts there, that the star would stop there in Herod's palace, and because that would be the appropriate spot for the birth of a king, at least, you know, as their culture would see it, as people in Judea would see it even. A birth of a new king, of course, doesn't take place in the home of the current king. But that was not the case. That was not the case in this story. And why I think this point is so important for us, why we can learn so much from it, is that when we start, you know, looking at the coming year, or perhaps our whole lives, when we're trying to think of the goals we want to achieve, or perhaps the resolutions we want to fulfill, or the resolutions we'd like to keep, if you're a person who does New Year's resolutions, sometimes we get caught in this ideal goal. And what I mean by that, this kind of culturally ideal goal, a socially acceptable goal that you can share and talk about, you know, perhaps, you know, say, you know, losing weight for my, like for my own self, continue to lose weight. That's a socially acceptable goal, you know, to share. You know, of course I'd like to lose, you know, some more weight. Doctor says I need to do it. I need to do this. Socially acceptable to share that. But the thing is, though, when we look at a goal like that right there, yes, it's socially acceptable. It doesn't take into account all the difficulties that can come along that journey. Or perhaps there's another goal of, you know, financial fitness, you know, getting finances in order for the year. Yes, that's a socially acceptable goal to share. But getting to that point can be filled with so many challenges and loops along the way. And perhaps even where you're going for financial fitness, you know, may not be something that other people would think of as financial fitness because of the circumstance you're in, or the challenges, you know, with business or with life or whatever. And so it can be difficult to even follow those goals. Or perhaps the goal is, the journey is to grow in faith, to grow in our love of God, our love of Christ, and our understanding of God and Christ. But yet, as we go through that goal, sharing, yes, a very socially acceptable goal, a very good goal, I would say, there can be challenges on that way that can derail us. Perhaps things that may not be something we'd want to share or we'd expect to share along that journey. Or perhaps where we end up on that particular journey is not where we expected to end up when we started. Part of it, this is here, is our own limited, you know, capacity for seeing into the future. I mean, if we could look into the future with 100% accuracy, you know, just look into the future with no difficulty of knowing where exactly where we would end up, you know, goal setting, resolution making, even growth and faith would be unnecessary. But for us, we don't have that luxury or that option. We're called to grow in faith. We're called to seek out our God. And we're called to understand that grace, that love that comes from Christ. Yes, it may be something we hope for and we want to get to, but getting to that point can be challenging. It can be difficult. It can be painful. But I believe when we're going from point A to point B, or perhaps it's point J or M or R, wherever it may be, I do believe our God is with us. Our God guides us along those ways. And that God is with us when things are going well and when they are not going so well. Because in the last part of our story here, the wise men were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, not to return there. And it was a vision that came to them in a dream, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, that warned them of the danger of going back to Herod, of the danger of going back to that place where they intended to go, and to return back a different way. Certainly their journey of searching for this new king, their journey of looking for the king of the Jews, did not go at all like they had planned. But God was with them in their journey. God was a part of that journey. And for us, when we see this journey here, when we look at this story, we can see how God was at work and how we can recognize the importance of Christ. Because they saw something happening in their world that pointed the direction to Christ. They saw something that meant something, that was real, and called them forward in faith. Brothers and sisters, as we go forward in this new year, we're asking ourselves that question of where do we want to go? Where do we want to end up, you know, throughout this year or perhaps throughout our lives? Where we end up may not be where we planned on. But I do believe that our God is with us. That when we face challenges, when we face difficulty, when we face uncertainty as we go through this year, our God is there guiding us. And coaching us, shaping us, pushing us, comforting us at all those points along the way. The story of the Epiphany, I believe, is that annual reminder for us, the annual reminder at the start of every year that the journey we don't know we're going to go through, the journey where we may not know exactly where we'll end up, is a journey that we're not the first to go on. And yet our God goes with us as a part of that journey and keeps us along that way. So no matter what we face, our God is there. Let us hold on to this hope. Let us hold on to this story as we go through this year. For we know our God is with us no matter what we go through or experience. Let's hold on to that hope for 2019 and for our lives forever. Amen.